We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Pod World Headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider, presented by Crumley Roberts. Visit CrumleyRoberts.com today to find out how they can stand up for you.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones and Adam here with you. Because the tyrant Adam refused to work earlier this week, this is our first and only show of the week, audio pod-wise. That's the dark cloud hanging over our mood today. However, there is, as always, a little silver lining around that cloud, Adam. And that silver lining is that it's Friday.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the week.
The show all month long, presented by Crumley Roberts, CrumleyRoberts.com, the website to visit today to find out how they can stand up for you. Good to see you, Adam.
How did it go when you tried to cross the podcast union picket lines to come to work on Tuesday and they were throwing spoiled fruit at you?
No, you will not enter Pod World Headquarters.
I was wearing that sandwich board as I marched around the Media and Communications Center. Fair pods for fair wage.
Well, we're back today, and we're back with a vengeance. Two guests today, Adam. Number one, we have, we're going to go Aaron Rollman first. Aaron Rollman, a walk-on on the 2017 National Championship team, very tight with Hubert Davis. So we talked to Aaron, who, no big deal, is like almost a surgeon now, if you think that's impressive, Aaron. Talked to Aaron about his time at Carolina, medical school, relationship with Hubert. Talk a lot about Hubert. That was the number one reason we reached out to Aaron. And so you're going to hear that. Maybe I'll run that second. We hadn't decided yet, but that's one of the two. The other is going to be Mac Brown Audio. If you watched our spring game preview / spring football catch-up streaming show yesterday, then you've already seen this interview and heard from Coach Brown, but so good, always great with Coach, and so we wanted to give you an opportunity to hear that if you missed it. But if you've already heard it, no worries. We've got a fresh interview as well with Aaron Rollman. So Mac Brown talking spring football, Aaron Rollman talking Hubert Davis, Carolina basketball, and saving lives.
I feel like people will be able to use their context clues to determine who is who, even if you don't tell them who goes first.
It'll just be a big guessing game.
Yeah.
So we have each of those interviews. Adam and I each have listeners submitted how can you justify that to get to. So double how can you justify that. I have it's not even a little Sebastian list, Adam. It's just two items I want to discuss. I'm sure Adam has a list built up from this past week.
Confirmed.
5-second challenge, which I'm just now remembering that I have to ask you a question. So I may have to go to Isaac today to save me because I'm not prepared.
We've all done it.
And a champion watch and more. What a show. What a bonanza. Adam, what's up?
I'm glad we finally get to pod. Really, this is two straight pods on two straight days.
Yes, I hope you got a chance to watch that spring football preview show where we talked to Mack Brown, talked to Jeremiah Gimmel, and talked to Lee Pace about a bunch of different Tar Heel football stuff. Had a good time doing that. Hope it gets you ready. We can almost get a little mini, Adam, how can you justify that right now for the weather? We don't need this potential rain tomorrow. It's spring game day. We need good weather.
Weather already impacting sporting events in Chapel Hill this weekend. Baseball had to reconfigure their series against Miami. I feel like sunny skies will break through because there are sunny skies around Tar Heel football. And this was on the list, but if you are struggling to figure out how to find the video pod, Byron Sykes tweeted at us. He was trying to find the YouTube channel where we have mentioned all the video pods live. And what I found when I searched by hand, if you search for Carolina Insider Live on YouTube, you can do it that way. Or it's on the UNC Tar Heels Athletics channel. They don't have an official Jones and Adam channel yet, but that's probably in the works if I had to guess.
So, yeah, hope you got a chance to see that. If not, on demand, of course, on Twitter through the Go Heels feed. Adam just told you how to get it via YouTube, also on the UNC Athletics Facebook page as well. Spring game tomorrow, and presented by North Carolina Farm Bureau. That game is at 3:00 tomorrow. Adam, anything in particular that you're going to be looking for? You know, and you'll hear this when Coach Brown talks, but it's not like the two sides are going to be scheming up against each other. It's going to be pretty basic sets, if you will, offensively and defensively. It's not going to be crazy blitzes and disguising coverages and checking in and out of things. They just want to. I think the biggest goal is to see some guys, and especially the guys who you're looking to see who will step up at a couple of positions, maybe looking to see who's going to take that number two spot at maybe some spots, who's earning a few more snaps this year compared to last year, stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of just different Tar Heels compete. I think particularly some of those young defensive guys I'm looking forward to seeing on the field.
I think the spring game is when you generally get more excited about seeing the twos than the ones.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Because you pretty much know about the ones, and the ones who are most exciting on game day in the fall, you probably aren't going to see very much tomorrow anyway.
Sure.
You might see Sam Howell wearing a baseball cap and holding a clipboard.
Yeah.
And just go ahead. You'll hear Mack Brown talk about this. Just soothe your anger when the Tar Heels look kind of vanilla, because Mack Brown tells us Carolina essentially doesn't want to put anything on tape. So don't go home from the spring game going, I thought that Jay Bateman liked to blitz. Tar Heels don't want to. They assume that Virginia Tech and all the other 2021 opponents are going to watch this tape because it is on the ACC network. If you weren't one of the folks who got a ticket to the sold-out spring game, it's on the ACC network. They assume those opponents are going to watch this broadcast, try to pick up a thing or two, and they don't want to give them anything to pick up, which I think is probably the right strategy, especially when you feel pretty good about your personnel. Like, it's not like you've got to test some guys in a game situation. You feel pretty good about it.
You know, I saw an interview, a different interview with Mack Brown, not the one that you and I did.
Nah. So tier B.
Yeah. And it just, I mean, not that, and I think we've talked about this before. I'm sure we have. But it just struck me just how comfortable Mac Brown is and what he's doing. And how, I think you've said this before, like this nothing to prove Mac Brown is, it's like heightened his powers to a billion. It's like he's not worried about anything. He's not worried about getting fired. He's not worried about what you think. All he's worried about is making sure these youngsters have a good experience, win some football games, graduate, and enjoy the University of North Carolina and have fun doing it. And it's like without all that other stuff, it's incredible to watch him work. And just seeing that interview, not that we haven't seen that on the field or experienced it in talking with him, but I was just like, man, Mac Brown, he just seems to be really enjoying what he's doing and not worried about any of the other stuff.
And he's not worried about if he can do it.
Right, yeah, he knows he can do it.
Yeah, like it's not even, it doesn't feel like he even really thinks about it, which I think is unusual when you get to that level, because there's part of what makes those people so great at what they do is there's always that "I'll show you" element. Like, I think even Roy Williams had that up to his final day of coaching, that "I came from nothing and you guys didn't think I could and I'm going to show you." And it just doesn't feel like Mac Brown really wants to show you. Like, you're going to see. Just don't worry. He's not worried about it. You'll find out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and talking to some other high-level coaches, I think the stress of it and the lack of fun, I think, wears those guys down a lot. And I genuinely think Mac Brown enjoys what he's doing. I think that makes a difference.
And I think he's figured out how to incorporate it into his life in a way that enables him to have a little more normal life than I think a lot of people in his same position. We talked about how he said the other day he's moving into this house that's less than a mile from Keenan Stadium, which means he can host recruiting visits there. Well, that's a way to take what you know you got to do and incorporate it into your day-to-day life in a way that enables you to do both pretty seamlessly. And I think it helps. Like, he doesn't have young kids, so you don't have to worry about that.
Sure.
But he and Sally have just formed this power structure in which they just know how to do everything. And at some point, the Tar Heels are going to lose a game and everybody can complain about Mac Brown. But as far as the architecture of the program, like, what are you worried about right now? Recruiting? Sam Blair's going pretty well. Winning games? Tar Heels just went to the Orange Bowl, first time in half a century. The student athletes doing well in class and in the community? It seems like they're doing great. I mean, like, it's not supposed to, he's not supposed to be able to make it look this easy, but he has.
And one thing, and then I want to talk a little bit about, they being Carolina football, had a scrimmage last weekend. But another thing, and he mentioned this in this art or in this interview I saw, and he said this before, was he was talking about the transfer portal. And he said, look, the way that we've just eventually figured it out is said, look, if you don't want to be here, that's okay. Don't get mad. We'll help you. We'll help you go somewhere else. If it's in the middle of the season, let's finish out the year. But if not, you know, let's figure out the best plan for you. There's no sense in you getting mad or us getting mad. He said, let's just figure it out so that you're enjoying your, if you think you should be playing more and there's just a really good player in front of you that you're not going to beat out right now, okay, that's okay. Go somewhere else. And that's not something you hear a coach say, Adam. But I think, and then I saw, I think maybe it was Rob Dilworth tweeted this out, where it was a picture with Coach Brown, with who I'm assuming is, and again, I think this was Rob Dilworth, assuming it was his mom and maybe a younger sibling or something like that. And the tweet said, thanks for being exactly who you were during the recruiting process, like once I got here, or something like that. And that's it. Mac Brown's just like, here, I'm laying it out. Here it is. This, and we've said this before. He always yells facts at practice. And now the team yells facts, 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 facts. When in, like, he'll say, oh, that, you know, a player was acting like he got a sack, but Coach Brown's like, oh, that was a pressure, not a sack, facts. And then they'll all say facts, 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 facts. And that's just what it is. It's just truth.
Yeah. And now he's got a body of work at Carolina 2.0 to point to.
Yeah.
It's not like year one where he was telling you he was going to do all these things.
It's hard. I mean, Adam, it's hard not to get really, really excited about football. Like, I mean, we could be getting into a little period here that's pretty incredible.
Yes. The talent level seems to be rising.
Yeah. Hey, you know what else is rising? The need for those outside chores and projects to get completed, Adam. But we don't want, don't miss the rescheduled baseball series. Don't miss the spring game. Don't miss other Tar Heel athletic events because you have outside chores. Let LS Tractor help make short work of them. That's normal yard maintenance to larger projects as well. LS Tractor has the machine for you. You can visit lstractorusa.com to see the difference. LS Tractor, what's it about for you? Of course, you're going to hear from Coach Brown coming up in just a second, plus our interview with Aaron Rollman as well. Adam, I did want to mention a couple pieces of basketball news. Now, a reminder, we can't talk about individuals until they have officially been announced. So we know the Tar Heels have been active in the transfer portal, as we suspected they would be and as most teams these days are. Adam, we know that the Tar Heels have had some success in the transfer portal. The only one that has been officially announced is Justin McCoy, a former Virginia player. McCoy was from this area, went to Panther Creek High School in Cary.
Crib.
Oh. And was a reserve for Virginia the last couple of seasons, entered the portal. Carolina offered late. I think if I remember this correctly, he had committed to Penn State and then pulled back his commitment. Then Carolina jumped in late, but he ended up going to Virginia. So, Adam, with McCoy and then some other activity in the transfer portal, I think what you've – the number one thing I've taken away from that is it's very clear to me what Hubert Davis has the vision of his offense looking like. And I think that is following some things that he has said, which has been wants to space the floor, wants more shooters. I don't think you're – not that it won't ever happen, but I don't think you're going to see a ton of two big guys in the post on the block together. It seems like Carolina is looking much more for the stretch four, the hybrid four, that player who can give you a big matchup problem at that power forward position. Not that – anybody, you know, the positions are so less locked than they used to be, but you know what I'm saying. And it seems like the activity in the portal is backing that up. Hey guys, having to drop in as there's been a piece of news for Carolina after Adam and I had originally recorded the podcast. That is with the addition, official addition of Brady Minnick joining the Tar Heels from the transfer portal. Minnick comes to Carolina after a successful four-year career at Oklahoma. And Adam, who's joining by Zoom for this particular portion of our conversation, Minnick, similar to what we talked about with McCoy and just in general terms, 6'9", has some size, can really shoot the basketball as well, and somebody who's going to step in and it appears be a big addition to Carolina basketball pretty quickly.
I thought Hubert Davis's quote summed it up. He said, Brady is the perfect player for what we wanted and what we needed. We needed a player that had size, but from an offensive standpoint, had the versatility to score around the basket with either hand and be just as effective on the perimeter. That's just what Brady has done for four seasons at Oklahoma. Not just a shooter, even though he's a great three-point shooter. The thing about the shooting, I mean, this isn't a guy who's just chucking it up there. He's made 235 threes in 4 years. And so to put it in perspective, Marcus Page has got the most three-pointers in a Carolina career with 299. Joe Barry's got 266. So in 4 years, Minnick is not that far behind Joel Berry, who I think of as a very proficient three-point shooter. The next guy on the Carolina list is Shamon Williams with 233. That's a different era. So it seems like he can shoot it, and it seems like that's exactly what Hubert Davis has been looking for.
Well, and two other things about this signing, and I think the McCoy signing as well. You know, they're coming from big Power Five programs, right? I mean, this is McCoy, Virginia, Minnick from Oklahoma. So these are guys who have played at the highest level of college basketball. And so I do think that makes a difference as far as the ready when they are ready to contribute at a high level for Carolina. I mean, I would expect that Brady Minnick's going to step on campus and be ready to compete for heavy minutes for the Tar Heels because he's already done it at the Power 5 level. He's played against Texas. He's played against Kansas. You know, he's played against all these high-level teams. And so I think when you're looking for transfers, when you can find them guys who have played and been successful at comparable programs, at least the level of competition that the programs they have previously been have faced, I think that's an enormous plus. And then, I don't know if you saw this in that release, Adam, but his career high is 18 rebounds. I mean, I think at least his the reputation that you get or that you've heard about him is shooter, but he can help you a little bit in the paint as well. So, I mean, it's not going to be like he's just going to be floating around on the perimeter at all times. I think he's somebody who can also heavily help you in the rotation in the paint.
The career high 15 rebounds against Iowa State. So 15, yeah. Like it was, not like it was against Apex High. And he had 10 or more rebounds 11 different times. So you're right. I think he can do more than just shoot it, but he can definitely shoot it. And I think what you said about the competition is kind of like what Mack Brown said about Ty Chandler on the football side. He's been to Georgia. He's been to Alabama. These guys have been to big name places and played in big games against equal opposition to what they're going to see at Carolina. And I think that makes it so much easier to imagine where they might fit for the Tar Heels.
So, Adam, who knows? You know, Carolina's still, you know, assuming Armando Bacot returns, which is an assumption. We don't know that for a fact. Carolina still has two open scholarships for next season. And, of course, there's a variety of ways you can handle that through traditional recruiting, through the transfer portal, or, you know, reward a walk-on with a scholarship. You know, there are plenty of things you can do with those scholarships, but the Tar Heels do still have two to work with, so I don't think the story is completely closed as far as the what Carolina's roster will look like.
And Bacot's the great unknown who makes things a little bit complicated, because if you don't have Bacot, you don't feel real good about maybe your traditional center position. But if you do have Bacot, then you're looking for something different. I think either way, Carolina's got enough players to have a competitive team, which is different than where we thought we might have been, say, a month or so ago. It's just you don't quite know how those players are going to fit together on a Hubert Davis team.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
I really think it's worthwhile to go back and listen to that 2017 pod interview with Hubert Davis, because he was really good. And he talks about this a little bit and gives us a little window into what a future Hubert Davis team might look like, because he says that he told Luke May that the hardest player for Carolina to scheme for defensively is a stretch four who can go out on the court and shoot it pretty much anywhere. And he was telling this to Luke in terms of, Luke, you can be that guy, which I think he was right.
He turned out pretty okay at that spot.
That all worked out well. So it's obvious that Hubert Davis likes this kind of player. It's obvious he thinks Justin McCoy can be this type of player. This is the one time I will give you some recruiting scoop, Jones.
Whoa.
So I know someone who coached one of my kids who also coached Justin McCoy.
Wow.
Now, this person is...
You are like an AAU grassroots guru, yeah, right now.
Worldwide Steve. Yeah. That's my name. So this person is an NC State fan, so they're not prone to exaggerating to benefit a Tar Heel. He said that Justin McCoy is probably the nicest kid he has ever coached, comes from one of the greatest families he has ever coached, will do absolutely anything you ask him to do on the court, and always wanted to be a Tar Heel.
Hmm.
Sign him up.
Yeah.
I'm in. And he can shoot. We like all those things. So really looking forward to seeing him as a Tar Heel.
And Adam, I don't follow recruiting extraordinarily closely. I do follow it enough because a lot of people ask us about it. And, you know, I certainly need to be versed in who Carolina's talking to, looking at, who's a good chance that they might get, all those kind of things. It seems like Hubert Davis and his staff have been pretty aggressive so far in both the transfer portal and in the recruiting world as far as finding, identifying the type of players that they want and aggressively not waiting around to see if they want to be a Tar Heel.
And I think it's interesting that they seem to fit a mold basketball-wise, but also off the court-wise. It seems like they've been, character's been important in these evaluations, and also what other outside things are going on with this person.
Right.
And I think that's good, because I think that's, Hubert Davis knows he's best at building connections, and those are the kind of folks you build connections with. And if you can do that, you get a better team. I think kind of the fun part about all this is, well, fun and also scary, is in past years when the Tar Heels
fun in the way like you're falling but think your bungee cord is going to save you. But
it's like Jesse on Saved by the Bell. I'm so excited. I'm so scared. In years past, you could kind of place where these players would go in a Tar Heel basketball team because you knew what the Tar Heel basketball team was going to look like. Well, this year, we don't really know exactly where these players might fit. We can kind of see, based on how the roster is being constructed, that we think it's going to play a little differently, but we don't know how that's going to look on the court. And so I think that's something fun to look forward to for the summer, for pickup games, and certainly for the fall and practice and the season getting going.
You've written a couple columns about the assistant coaching staff.
Yes. Yesterday was about Jackie Manuel. Really positive words from Courtney Banghart and from Wes Miller, who continues to get a lot of good press at Cincinnati, talking about Jackie Manuel and just the kinds of connections he makes with players and why he is so good at doing that. I thought it was interesting that Courtney Banghart said one thing she really noticed about him was most coaches and players use water breaks as a break. Mm. And Jackie would always, during water breaks, he'd find one player to go talk to about something to just foster that relationship because he couldn't be on the court during actual practice, which will be the same case on the men's side. So I thought, but that being said, we already knew Jackie is awesome.
Yeah.
And not much doubt about that. The other one this week was about Sean May, and I thought good comments from Armando Bacot about how helpful Sean May has been to him in terms of just Sean May's knowledge. It's kind of weird to hear the current guys talk about Sean May as a player because they kind of make him sound like this scrappy guy who just overcame his lack of talent. Sean May was good.
Yeah.
But Sean May even said to us he was a below-the-rim player. And so it was up to him to figure out how to use those skills to succeed in Carolina's system. And I think if that's something he's able to convey to current players, that here's the system, here's what you do, how can you take what you do and put it within that to get good results? I think that's good. That's a better scenario than I'm going to do what I do, and if it doesn't fit, that's just too bad. Because I think there have been a couple of examples of that. So if he can convey that, and by all accounts a great teacher and certainly will benefit from being able to be on the court, then I think the Tar Heels are better for it.
You said this after Hubert Davis was hired. I think one of the bummers is it is going to be a while until we really know. I mean, I think you certainly use your context clues and have a good feel, but you just don't know. It's going to be still going to be a long time until we do know.
Well, and for example, we know that the players who were on campus played pickup yesterday.
Hmm.
But even they don't really know how to play because they haven't been in a Hubert Davis practice. So I think it's fun to go watch them and watch the improvement over the summer. But until they're really able to get in there with Hubert Davis and find out what the expectations are, then I think you're not quite sure what you're getting.
Adam, anything else? Spring game, basketball, anything else before we get to our interviews?
No.
Okay. I think we should go Mac Brown first. Spring game's tomorrow. We need to go Mac Brown first.
First Dr. Brown, then Dr. Roman.
Yeah. Okay, so again, this is audio of Coach Brown. It is from the streaming show, spring football show that we had yesterday. So if you watched that or planning on watching that, you can listen to this or not. That's up to you. Really, all this is up to you. It's in your hands. And then after that, we'll have Aaron Rollman, member of the 2017 National Championship team, talking Hubert Davis and more. Plus, Adam, did I Grubar Aaron Rollman at one point in time? We'll find the answer to that coming up. So those interviews, we come out. Isaac's going to lift me up for a five-second challenge with Adam. Champion watch, double how can you justify that? All kinds of stuff's going to happen. After this on the Carolina Insider.
It is hard to think of a time that there has been more just pure anticipation for Carolina football than right now in 2021. The architect of all that is Mack Brown. Coach, how has spring practice treated you, and do you feel that same anticipation?
Adam, I really do. It's a fun time for us. We come in 2 years ago, and the team was struggling, and we win seven, win a bowl game. And everybody's excited because we've made some progress, but we lost a lot of close games. Then last year, we do a lot of good things, but we're fifth in the country. We lay an egg at Florida State, and they played well. And we tried to come back and win and couldn't. Same thing at Virginia. Virginia was a good team. And then we play three top 10 teams, and you end up with a dominant win over a really good Miami team on the road. We lose a tough fourth quarter game to Notre Dame, who was two in the country at the time, and then lose a tough fourth quarter game, late fourth quarter, to A&M, who's fifth in the country. So we understand what it takes now. But you lose over 4,000 yards of offense with four great players. You lose maybe your best defensive player, your leading tackler. And we should be better in every other position except running back, wide receiver, because Eugene Asante is stepping in there at linebacker. But we've got to understand that that's a lot of yards that we've got to make up. So we're excited about the expectation. The standard is definitely set higher. Our guys are embracing that. They're practicing really, really well throughout this spring. I can't wait till Saturday and to watch them. I wish Keenan could be full, but it's full with our guidelines, with a 10,600 that sold out very quickly. I think people are right to be excited. We are excited. And understanding we've still got a lot of work to do, but you want standards to be set high. You want that expectation to be high, and that's what these kids have done over 2 years.
Coach, you and most teams were unable to have a spring session last year. What is the goal? What did you miss by not having that? And what have you been able to achieve by being able to be with your team here over the last month or so?
Jones, you missed so much teaching, fundamentals especially. We had, I think, maybe 12 early enrollees come in last year. They came in just for spring practice, off-season. Learn about college so they'd be like a sophomore going into the fall. They lost everything. They didn't get anything after the March 12th date that will forever be in all of our minds and have changed our lives completely in so many ways. And then you notice too many penalties early in the season because you weren't able to coach in the spring. You notice that special teams aren't sharp because you've missed all that. And even summer work last year wasn't the same because we there were delays, and then you weren't sure what you could do, and then you couldn't touch each other or anything, or couldn't touch a ball for a while. And it was just absolutely crazy. And then depth, because your young guys aren't as developed. So a lot of the guys you depended on that you would have taught during spring practice weren't ready to play till maybe midseason or later. Now you have a bond with your team in the spring. The guys work against each other. They are working to improve and get better, but it allows us to determine who's earned the right to play more in the spring. We lost all of that last year, so we're in a much better place right now. The guys have competed so well and learned so much, and we know we've got to rush the passer better. We know we've got to stop the run on first down better. And we're working in situations throughout the spring. We're better in our front seven than we've been overall. We know we've got to score more and run the ball better in the red zone on offense. We know we got to do a better job with two-point plays. We know that we can't be an average team in special teams and win our league. We've got to be great in special teams. So a lot of those things, we're trying to get Sam to get the ball out of his hands faster. We're trying to get the offensive line to protect him better. We've got to figure out who those backs and receivers are that are going to make up some of those yards. And the backs that we had protected the ball, so we got to protect the ball. So we know exactly who we are. We know exactly where we want to be, and we know how to get there, and we're not there yet. So as Adam said, we got a lot of hype, but we're going to have to coach up to that hype, and that's our responsibility.
Coach, as you mentioned, one of the fun things about spring practice are all those competitions and the times when player maybe you weren't expecting as much from, when they're able to get out on the field, they do push somebody who maybe you weren't expecting. What are some of those best competitions that you've seen this spring, or maybe somebody who you didn't have on the top of your list who has raised a couple eyebrows?
Adam, it's funny, but we actually have 8 offensive linemen that we think could play with the first unit now. We call that our blue team, and we haven't had that. We've had 5, maybe 6. And then Brian Anderson sprains an ankle in the Duke game, and he can't play against Wake Forest the next week. And Quarion Johnson has to step up and play. And if he gets hurt, we don't have anybody. So we're better in the offensive line. The fact that Garrett Walston came back, and you've got Kamari Morales playing behind him with another year's experience, we're deeper at tight end. And John Copenhaver's coming on. Receivers, we got a lot of guys. Running backs, we got a lot of guys, but we got to separate those guys, and that's still something that we'll have to look at in the fall. You've got a great quarterback, but who's the replacement? Who comes in if Sam has to come out? We're still trying to separate in that area. But I think the fact that we're deeper at linebacker, we're deeper in the secondary, we're deeper up front. We're not going to get tired and get beaten down in games like we did last year against the top 10 teams. That number 5 and number 2 with Notre Dame, Texas A&M just beat us down. They had big bodies. Well, we're starting to get some big bodies too. So we feel like we can beat some people down, and that's fun. And the other problem we really had last year was twofold. That old 50-50 ball, when you're a cornerback, doesn't fly anymore. If you're 50-50 with those deep balls, you get beat. So we're really working the 80-20 balls, and our corners are better right now than we've been, and they're really playing well. Our safeties were inexperienced enough. We had some communication trouble, especially against Wake Forest. We just left some guys running wide open. I said in one of the game, guys, just get somebody close enough so I'll know who to yell at. There wasn't anybody in the whole area in that part of the field. So it's hard for me to explain to the media after the game whose fault it was, because I'd like to at least have one that's close enough we can blame. And after that, we simplified some and got much better communication. And I'm really hoping that our special teams make the biggest difference of all. Now that we have depth, we can play more of those guys in special teams that are starters. And hopefully they'll make a difference.
Coach, more than a dozen early enrollees for your program in this spring. And I think some of those guys are some of the big bodies that you're talking about that you're starting to add, particularly on the defensive front. What have you seen from that group of young players, very highly touted freshman group? What have you seen from them for the first time on the field as Tar Heels?
The first thing, Jones, is we'd recruit them all again. But so we're happy with every one of them. And that's always your fear, especially in a year, a pandemic, where you didn't even see them play. Yeah. They didn't have a senior year. So we only have 21 guys on scholarship on our entire team that have been through a spring practice. That's scary when you think about it. We are so young, but these guys, that the early enrollees, haven't done anything for a year. They didn't get to lift. They didn't get to be with their team. They didn't get to run. They didn't get to play. So it's been amazing to see what they've done this spring without a year's experience. and being as young as they are. So we're really, really happy. So you start looking at Jabari Ritzy and Keyshawn Silver, they look old. They look like they've been here. And that's exciting for them. You add K.J. Binkley to the bunch from last year because he didn't get to play at all last year because he was hurt. So he's kind of a newcomer. Two young linebackers look really good, Power Eccles and Ra-Ra Dilworth. Young secondary guy is playing really well. So and Dontavious Nash. You start looking at all three wide receivers are good. Drake May is good. You've got one quarterback. You've got Caleb Hood that's here. And you've got Edmonds that's coming in June. So that could add to that, try to separate those running backs group. And then you've got 6'6", 335-pound Diego Pounds. And we're talking about having bigger bodies. We want to have a bigger team and beat people down over time. Now, who am I missing? I'm sure there's one other defensive back, DeAndre Boykins,
yep.
The nickel, and that might have gotten them all. But he and Dontavious Nash have stepped up and played really well this spring also. And we've had a lot of injuries with our secondary for whatever reason for the previous 2 years, so we can't have enough guys right now in that area.
Coach, in 2021 college football with the transfer portal and guys can go in, I think, up until July 1st, how does the importance of spring practice change when you're having to think about roster management and they're having to think about, is this right for me? And I know you said last week you would have very honest conversations with everyone, but does that change the way you look at spring practice and think about the future?
Adam, it does. We'll finish the spring on Saturday with our spring game, and then we've tried to have conversations with our players after every fifth practice. So after 5, after 10, and then Monday after the spring game, we will sit down. And in the past, guys didn't transfer much. They loved their school. They wanted to stay. They might be upset that they're a second teamer. So the ones that you could lose are guys that are second teamers because there's a great player playing in front of them, and they know they can start somewhere else, and they just want to start. They want to have more playing time, and that's fair. So we would like for some of those guys to stay. I'm sure that after we sit down and have those uncomfortable, hard conversations at the end of spring practice, here's how much you're going to play. You'll be more on special teams. You're not going to factor in right now as a starter. We'll probably have some leave. And the hard thing is, had them this late in the year, they leave July 1st. You can't get anybody else. Yeah. So that's just the transfer world that we're all in. I saw the other day three different basketball teams have lost 9 guys. You lose your whole team. So what do? Recruit somebody else's? And I worry about tampering. That's something that you're not supposed to do, is talk to any of these young people. But most of the young people that are great players have a place to go before they're going to jump into that portal. And the other thing that's bothersome about it, Adam, is that only 37% of the 2,000-plus that are in the portal have found a place to go. So I think we're going to see a lot of young people in football that jump into the portal because they're not happy with their current situation, and they're going to end up with a worse deal, and they may not have a scholarship at the end. So I think this is something we've really got to continue to monitor over the next couple of years, because it makes roster management a disaster to try to figure out. And it also, I'm not sure it's healthy for young people. I think it'll end up affecting graduation rates, because most of the people that transfer don't have as good a chance to graduate as those that stay at their same school.
Coach, before we let you go, let's look forward to Saturday, the Carolina Spring Game presented by North Carolina Farm Bureau this year. What are your goals for Saturday afternoon? Is it evaluation? Is it just to get guys out there in front of some crowd? What are your main goals for Saturday?
Well, Jones, number one, for fans, don't worry about schemes. Everybody's going to be watching the game that we play next year. So we're not going to put anything out there on tape that people haven't already seen. Even with our scrimmages being open on Saturday, we're not doing anything on Saturday that we haven't done before that people have seen. So it should be pretty vanilla from just play calling and defenses. There's no game plans. And that's why you have some great plays and bad plays, because you're not checking a lot and you're not getting in and out of things as much on either side of the ball. But we want to see the older players get out there and get a good start and have a good first start of the day. But the day is really about evaluation. We want to see the young players play. And we'll see them play more of the game than the older guys, because a guy like Jeremiah Gimmel, Tamon Fox, they've played enough. They've played, we looked up, I think Fox has played over 2,000 plays, so he doesn't need a spring game to get him ready to go for Virginia Tech in the fall. So we want to have fun. We want to have that 10,600 that are lucky enough to get a ticket screaming and shouting, and really and truly, that'll be three times as much as we've seen in a stadium in Keenan for a while. And we want the guys to, especially the young guys, to get the experience of playing in front of people in a game type atmosphere where they have to compete.
That's the Hall of Fame head coach of the Tar Heels, Mack Brown. Looking forward to Saturday afternoon, Carolina's spring game presented by North Carolina Farm Bureau. Coach, always great to see you. Thanks so much for your time, and look forward to seeing you and your team out on the field on Saturday.
Great to see you both, and can't wait to see all the fans. And even you that couldn't get in, lock in to ACC Network, and it'll be rocking. Let's have some fun.
Every time we ask someone to join us, I always feel a little guilty because they're taking their time. I feel a lot guilty when that time is being taken away from something slightly more important than the pod, such as, I don't know, medical school. So, we really do appreciate Aaron Rollman giving us some time today, because he could be learning how to save a life, and instead he's talking to Jones and Adam. So not exactly the
equally as important.
Yeah. So Aaron, how are things going? Tell us about medical school. Is there anything we need to know in order to save lives?
Medical school is going awesome. Recently finished our foundation phase, which is all the book learning and the lecture learning. So now we're into clinicals. I'm currently in outpatient care. So like the family doctor, everyone goes and sees, and a pediatrician. So it's awesome. Getting to see patient continuity, see people over a long period of time, try to manage their problems. But recently I worked in the emergency department, had patients come in with gunshot wounds, motor vehicle accidents. It is a lot of fun, really high energy, kind of reminded me of basketball in a sense, where the team works together to handle patient care. So that was really neat, but it's going good. It truly is.
Aaron, do you ever sit back and go, you know what? I am a good looking dude who got to play basketball at the D1 level, and I'm now working out my dream in the medical field. I really wish something good would happen for me. Maybe I need to work a little bit harder. Do you ever think that?
Dude, all the time. it is hard. Like, coach, my dad, like a lot of the male like role models in my life have been really hard workers, not really gifted anything. They really earned what they got, and I kind of am trying to follow that routine. So if I put in more work, I guess I'll do better later on, help more people survive whatever they go through.
Yeah, in all seriousness, I would be interested. Yeah, did basketball, and I know they're totally different worlds, I'm not trying to suggest that, but did anything you learn through athletics help you with what you are doing now?
Yeah, it's honestly kind of crazy how much it's helped, I would say. Like, I think a lot of people who don't like have never worked in a team setting, like on a basketball team, they get into medicine and they're like, they don't understand that, like, it is truly a group effort. Like, when I was in the trauma bay at the ED, the doctor is taking care of the head, but then there's like two or three nurses, taking care of different parts of the body, a charge nurse writing notes, another, like the EMT worker is telling us what's going on. So like really there's like six or seven different moving parts, people with different personalities and different perspectives doing things that that are ultimately helping the patient in the same way that a team works together to win a basketball game. And then the coaches work together to help the team win the basketball game. It really is so helpful. Having played basketball, it really has been.
You're 4 years removed from the national championship of 2017. When you think about that team and that weekend in Phoenix, what do you think about?
I just think about, honestly, I miss those guys. I miss being around them. I miss having team meals together and getting laughs in and just hanging with the people. The event was awesome, spectacular. I mean, obviously it was amazing to be there, but to be there with that particular group of people is really what made it such a special experience.
You know, now, Adam, in the coming home celebration after the championship, I almost Dick Grubard Aaron Rollman, because I had been given a list of the players. It was like, you're on the flight home, everybody's trying to get everything figured out. So I got a handwritten list from somebody that said, this is the order that you want to announce the players up on the stage back in the Smith Center. Well, they had Aaron incorrectly listed as a senior instead of a junior. So I was going through it by class and I got through the junior class and hadn't said Aaron's name. I was planning on saying it during the senior class because that's what was on my notes. Cause everything I should have known, but it was just going too fast. And for a second, I think everybody thought I was going to forget Aaron. So, Aaron, have you forgiven me? Eventually, I did get Aaron's. We introduced Aaron. Everything went fine. But there was a moment where it looked dicey. Have you forgiven me, Aaron?
I mean, I was holding a lot of resentment, obviously. until I got to go work with your wife at that school and have those kids, that's when I really think I forgave you.
You said, at least this guy has good taste in who he chooses as his wife. I'll give him a break for messing up on stage. Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate that. Aaron, we wanted to talk to you, number one, but a big thing we wanted to talk about was the new head coach at Carolina basketball, Hubert Davis. We know that you had a close relationship with Hubert during your time with Carolina basketball. Tell us a little bit about that relationship and why the two of you clicked.
Man, Coach Davis, he's just a very caring, loving human being. And first of all, I couldn't be more proud of anyone to get the head coaching job. And I truly think he is the right guy for the job. He just treated me with so much respect and love. He brought me in and made me part of his family. I would go have dinner with Luke and Kenny and Cam and Justin at his house. Even though I had just walked onto the team that year, he had known them for 3 years at that point. And he really just accepted me as a part of his group. He led Bible studies that we would do every week. And so that's just a place where we just got to spend a lot of time together and really get to know each other on a deeper level. And I got to know his family, his wife, his three kids. He's a family man, and he made me feel like a part of his family.
Frequently he talks, but he also talked at his press conference about his faith and the role that plays in kind of just his everyday life. How did you see examples of that as you interacted with him both on and off the court?
Coach Davis since he went to school at Carolina. And Mike, another guy who worked with our Bible study, I think actually led him to faith in Christ back then. And they've been really good friends ever since. And seeing their relationship it's kind of amazing, especially today's time with Mike being an older white guy and Coach Davis is a person of color. They're like brothers and they are family in a sense, in the body of Christ. And so that's really awesome to see them walk through life together and to share each other's burdens and just to be there for each other. But Coach Davis, in terms of his faith, he really exemplifies the love that it takes to be a Christian, I would say, and loving people that maybe he doesn't get along with although I feel like he gets along with everyone, but he really is, like, I would say he exemplifies that love like no other person that I know.
Aaron, how do you balance that in the athletics world? Because I'm guessing not everybody who's coming through the locker room is a deeply religious person, or maybe feels like that's an extraordinarily important part of their life. So how do you balance that in a locker room when you're dealing with faith and how it kind of intersects with athletics?
That's a really good question, honestly. Coach Davis, I think he understands, like, everyone is, like, free to make their own choices and to be their own person. And he respects those decisions, but, like, he's also his own person, so he's going to have his own spin of things. And he told me when he played at UNC, like, Coach Dean Smith did not cuss. And so I'm certain that players will not be cussing during these practices, because I remember on JV, I didn't play, but one of my good friends, Kane Ma, played, and he said if Coach Davis heard a cuss word come out of someone's mouth, they were running. So I guess it's going to be a little bit interesting in that regard for the people who do use a little bit more profanity. But I'm sure it'll be fine for them. They'll get used to it pretty quick.
Well,
Is there anybody who would have been running a lot when you were on the team if Coach Davis was the head coach due to this profanity rule?
Ooh. I mean, everyone, I probably would have been running. We all would have been running. If you were... Oh, yeah. Ooh, man. Coaches would have been running.
Jones would have been running.
Yeah, well, absolutely. No doubt.
I think everyone kind of accepts this notion of Hubert Davis as Hubert Davis, nice guy. You would love to eat dinner with him. He would inquire about your family, and you would leave there feeling like he's your best friend. What about the competitive side of Hubert Davis? Because you can't reach the level he's reached as a player and a coach just being this nice guy who lets everybody do what they want. What did you see from him on the competitive side?
Yeah, Coach Davis, he played, I don't know how many years in the NBA. You have to be at least some amount of competitor, I guess, to play in the NBA. But no, he is all about working hard and playing hard. That is the nature of his business. If he sees you getting out hustled, he's going to take you out of the game. Like, he understands what it takes to compete and what it understands to be an athlete. And he is going to want you to play as hard as you possibly can play every minute of the game. He wants you diving on the floor. He wants you running up the court every single possession. And he's not going to accept anything less than that. And he will make you work and make you play hard, even if you don't want to.
The Hubert Davis scouting reports have gained a little bit of legendary status because people seem very impressed with them. As someone who he had to teach, say, all right, here's how you run what Kentucky runs or something, what stood out to you about a Hubert Davis scouting report?
Those things were long, let me tell you. Having to memorize those things? Oh, no. I'm glad I was a walk-on during those parts of the game. Oh, but in terms of, like, let's say me being a walk-on and having to play the practice squad and he's coaching us Kentucky's offense where I have to be Malik Monk. I know it's a stretch, but work with me here. He made us run it to, like, he was trying to make us run. He literally wanted us to be Kentucky. He's like, I want you guys to be the closest thing to Kentucky as you can get. Obviously, we're going to run into some difficulties there, but he just wanted perfection out of us in the similar way that they wanted perfection out of our starters to play defense. High levels expected of everyone, and no one gets out of it, not even the last player on the bench.
Aaron, we always, whenever we talk to somebody who did a lot of blue team work, we like to ask this question. Is there anybody who you ever, as a member of the blue team, you just, the two of you got tired of banging on each other during practices, or you got worn down with each other just from going hard against one another day in and day out during the season?
Oh, dude, You know, it sucked playing against Kennedy. I like pride myself. I like my way of being a big man is to be big. Kennedy was so much bigger than me. And in terms of the strength, I could not do anything with him. And then, oh my goodness, Tony. I could box Tony out the best I could. And he would just reach over my head and grab the ball. It would make me so mad. So both of those guys, very hard to play against. Obviously, Tony's doing very well in the league. I'm not sure where Kennedy's playing at right now, but I'm sure he's playing incredibly well as well.
Kind of related to that, was there anyone you got to be as a member of the blue team when you were simulating an opponent where like you just basically got to shoot whenever you want, do whatever you want, and it was the greatest couple practices of your life?
Marvin Bagley. Give me the ball. I was shooting every time. I don't have the second jump that he had, but yeah, I'm getting my rocks off that practice. For sure.
Aaron, before we let you go, what's coming up next for you? You said you're starting to work a little bit, you know, in the emergency room or with patients. You know, what are kind of the next couple of steps for you as you continue this journey personally?
So I'm in my outpatient care at the internal medicine clinic for 2 more months. And then from there, I'll go into surgery and inpatient care in the hospital. So I think that'll be really interesting because I'm really considering wanting to do some kind of surgery.
Hey, that reminds me of a very important question. My wife and daughter love Grey's Anatomy. How realistic is Grey's Anatomy?
To be honest, I've never watched Grey's Anatomy.
What?
I've seen House MD, and I'm not sure how far off. It can't be too far off. They probably use a lot of the right words, but yeah, some of the stuff they do on there can get you just a little bit of trouble.
That kind of sounds like our podcast, Aaron. We mostly say the right words, but we could also get ourselves in big trouble. There's no question. As always, our interviews here on the show brought to you by the Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina. They want to remind you that texting while driving takes your eyes off the road for right around 5 seconds. And at highway speeds, that's as if you were driving the length of a football field with your eyes closed. Sam Howell could do that, but you shouldn't. Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina wants you to stay safe behind the wheel. Put your phone down while driving. Let's have a hands-free NC. To learn more, visit trustedchoice.com and find an agent near you. Now, 5-second challenge time. So, Adam, we're going to an NCAA tournament question today.
Okay.
Combined, Adam, between Coach Williams' tenure at Kansas and at Carolina, he had multiple meaning two or more, Adam.
Right.
NCAA tournament victories against 12 different schools. Adam, how many of those 12 schools that Roy Williams had multiple NCAA tournament victories can you name in 5 seconds, starting now?
Arkansas, Michigan State, Villanova, Providence.
Time. So you listed four, Adam. Listed four. Let's go through the list. Number one on this list with four total victories, one at Kansas, three at North Carolina, was an answer by Adam. It is Arkansas. Number two, did not get this one, Adam. Three total victories, but there are three schools in which there were three total victories. This is just how they were listed, which is alphabetically by Isaac. Two at Kansas, one at Carolina, Indiana on this list. Mm. Also with three all-time victories, all coming at Carolina. One in the Final Four, one in the national championship game. Adam got this one right. It is Michigan State. The other was in the round of 32 in 2007
in Winston-Salem. That was that where that picture, famous picture of the Michigan State guys looking at Tyler Hansbrough in the back, and they looked like they were in awe of him.
And we think that was a real picture, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That predated the "we're going to doctor this picture."
Yeah, no, yeah, I don't think that picture was doctored.
Yeah,
I mean, it was Tyler Hansbrough.
Yeah, that was a fairly common occurrence.
With three victories all coming at Carolina, one in the Final Four. Can't remember, there was one in the round of 64. Mm. Oh, and one in the Sweet 16. There was a notable defeat as well, but I don't
remember that.
Don't even talk about that.
Nope.
Adam got this one right. It is Villanova. And Adam, if I'm not mistaken, right, Villanova and Arkansas are the two teams that Carolina in total has played the most in the NCAA tournament.
I think that's right. I feel really good about Arkansas.
Yeah. I think Villanova's up there too. They've played a bunch here recently. Okay, so your other answer was Providence. Okay. So all of these schools Roy Williams faced twice in the NCAA tournament, either at Carolina, Kansas, or a combination of the two. Arizona, both coming at Kansas. Gonzaga, both at North Carolina, and both in national championship runs, one for the national championship, of course. Illinois, one at Kansas, one at Carolina. Marquette, one at Kansas, one at Carolina. Oregon, one at Kansas, one at Carolina. Adam correctly noted Providence, one at Kansas, one at Carolina. Or excuse me, both of those at Carolina. Both those at Carolina. Syracuse, of course, his final Kansas team lost to the Orange in the national championship game. Had a Carolina team in 2016 that beat Syracuse in the national semifinals. And then the final answer, Adam, is Washington. Both of those coming during Coach Williams' tenure at Carolina. So, Adam, all of these Roy Williams tenure questions, going to have to reboot them now moving forward.
Yeah, I'm not as strong on the Kansas NCAA tournament matchups.
Okay. That's okay. Adam, you did well.
I should have gotten Syracuse.
Syracuse, yeah. I mean, well, I think when you hear all of them, you go, Gonzaga. Ah, yes, right. Of course. So when you hear all of them, sure. But look, Adam, it's like the man in the arena speech. Look, if you've never had that 5 seconds ticking off while you're trying to answer questions, then we don't need to hear your criticism.
The problem with Gonzaga is beating someone in the national championship just obliterates all the other matchups, and you forget about them. But Michigan State, you don't forget about them because it seemed like Carolina was playing them every single year.
Yeah. So, good stuff, Isaac. Adam, a reputable appearance.
I'll take that.
Champions Watch, brought to you by UNC Health, which is dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds and to help keep you in the game and at your very best. See their lineup at unchealthcare.org/sports. By the way, sometimes I just like to go to these websites that are on our readers just to make sure that they're correct. This one's correct. unchealthcare.org/sports. Adam, who are you watching this weekend?
Men's and women's tennis are in the ACC championships in Rome, Georgia, starting today. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, championship matches on Sunday, if they are so fortunate as to be there. Both those teams, good chance to win ACC titles this weekend.
We are nearing the postseason for all of these sports that are being played outside of softball and baseball. They go a little bit longer, but all of these other spring sports are nearing their postseasons, conference and national tournaments. So get ready.
I am.
Good. Finally. quick reminder. There's more to the Pinehurst Resort than Donald Ross's masterpiece, Pinehurst Number 2. There's the stunning redesign of Number 4. There's the fun short course, the Cradle. There's the North and South Bar. It is stylish. It has an array of bourbons, whiskeys, and scotches. And there's the Pinehurst Brewing Company, craft beers, classic North Carolina barbecue. Never, ever, 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 ever has there been more to discover at the Cradle of American Golf. That's Pinehurst, pinehurst.com. I haven't checked that one. I have to think it's active.
Gotta be.
You can plan your visit today. Okay, Adam, we have a couple different directions we can go here. We both have user-submitted How Can You Justify That, which we get user-submitted How Can You... Normally, it goes one of two ways. A bunch of people send us the same thing, or someone will send us kind of random that we don't use. This, I believe, were both one-time sins, but they both make perfect sense. And so we're going to use them both. So we have that. We have your list. Or anywhere else. What should we do next?
Well, I think you've built up the How Can You Justify That so much, we need to do them right now.
Let's go.
I do not have to justify!
How can you justify what you've done?
Can you possibly justify that?
This How Can You Justify That was submitted by Brian Lester. Brian Lester sent us Chaz Surratt's ESPN-produced NFL draft highlight video.
Probably a lot of him hawking the ball down, making some impressive open field tackles, maybe sacking the quarterback.
Well, when I saw this, I thought, well, what could possibly be, how can you justify that about Chaz Surratt being a sought-after NFL draft pick? That seems reasonable to me. But I clicked on Brian's link just to see what it was. And what to my wondering eyes should appear? But Chaz Surratt playing quarterback for a full 60 seconds, mostly against Duke, throwing passes, maybe a couple scrambles, not a single tackle. Not a single defensive play. Not a single fumble recovery. Just Chaz Surratt playing quarterback. I assume somewhere there's an ESPN-produced Chaz Surratt playing linebacker highlight video. But if you tune in to the NFL draft next week and Chaz Surratt gets picked and then they cue up the highlights and it's him throwing passes, just remember, you knew this was a problem about a week ago. Thanks to Brian. Because I don't think you can justify all of Chaz Surratt's highlights being over 2 years old.
That's got to be, I'm going to guess the person clipping the highlights that are on ESPN.com is not like their senior editor. That's probably.
Mel Kiper doesn't do that himself.
I'm going to guess that's probably some youngster who's maybe an intern or a relatively green employee and just made a mistake.
Well, you didn't look for any games in the two most recent seasons?
The only game they had was from 2016, and it was Chaz Surratt playing quarterback against Duke. Or 17, I guess. Okay. That's a good one. Okay, this was also a user submitted. This came from our friend J. Patrick Childs. Not Jay Giles' band playing centerfold. Wait, yeah, Jay Giles' band, are they center field or centerfold?
They're centerfold.
Yeah.
John Fogerty's centerfield.
Yeah, okay. All these J's. So this, Adam, is a link to an article on odusports.com, which is the official website of Old Dominion Athletics.
My homepage.
It is an article written by Harry Minium, who, if I am reading the room correctly, is the Adam Lucas of odusports.com. Not the guy whose last name was also Lucas, who covered Wisconsin.
Yeah,
that was... That we just knew things were going to go bad as soon as we saw that.
The world was up.
We were like, wait, they've got a website, Lucas, too?
There can only be one.
This is a bad matchup. They're taking all of what makes us special.
When you do the little matchups and you have to check one side or the other, has a website, Lucas. Yeah. Both have checks.
Yeah, normally that's always for the Tar Heels, but not in that matchup. So, ODU Sports, Adam Lucas has written an article, Adam, about Old Dominion's new football uniforms, which I'm going to read the headline here. ODU football team to wear light blue jerseys we call Carol Hudson Blue for the first time this fall. So
that's the headline?
That's the headline, which also pretty much sums up the entire article. But Adam, look, that's okay. The headline itself is not the how can you justify that. But look, I mean, let's all be honest. If we saw an article that said ODU football team to wear light blue jerseys, we call Carol Hudson blue for the first time this fall, we're all clicking it, baby. So I'm gonna jump down a little bit into the article here, Adam. But the gist of it, spoiler, was in the headline. The color, according to ODU Sports Adam Lucas, is commonly called, quote, Carolina blue. That's a description that my boss, Dr. Jason Chandler, certainly loves to hear. Jason played football for the North Carolina Tar Heels. What up, Dr. Jason Chandler? But that's not a description all ODU fans like to hear. Former longtime sports information director Carol Hudson. Oh, you remember something from that title? Former longtime sports information director Carol Hudson told me about a conversation he had with Twardzik, the former basketball All-American, that may sum up the feelings of most ODU fans. Quote, Dave and I, we never call it Carolina Blue. We never associate ourselves with Carolina Blue. Columbia University wore the color decades before UNC, and technically, that's the real name of the color, which is how most people decide the names of things, on technicalities. But that doesn't sit well with Rain, R-A-H-N-E. There's all these people I guess I should have read from earlier in the article.
I'm surprised they weren't in the headline.
Yeah, who graduated from Cornell, which is Columbia's Ivy League rival.
Of course. So I see how this is all tying together back to Old Dominion.
Yeah. So we're, says ODU Sports Adam Lucas, calling it Carol Hudson Blue and hope you'll do the same. Because senior associate athletic director Bruce Stewart, who administers football, coined it Carol Hudson Blue more than a decade ago. So hot seat Columbia. The name has stuck among ODU's inner circle. Mm. So maybe at some point, we'll try to get Carol Hudson Blue trademarked. There are a lot of things in this article, Adam, that are absolutely electric. I think my favorite part is, like, what is something, like, what, okay, so what is something Adam doesn't like? Adam doesn't like roundabouts, right? Right? Adam doesn't like them, so let's do something very similar to the roundabout, but we're going to call it an Adam Lucas about, a Steve about, and we're going to coin that term and hope you'll just start calling it that. Thank you very much.
We've been using that amongst my inner circle, Jones. Why hasn't it spread like wildfire across these United States?
Guys, hold on, kids. Stop talking in the back seat. I'm about to go through this Steve about, and I need to see which exit I'm supposed to take.
By the way, I hope you'll mention that name to your friends.
I mean, this dude named Carol Hudson just decided that Columbia had blue before Carolina blue, so he wasn't going to call it Carolina blue, so now they're going to call it Carol Hudson blue.
And calling it Columbia Blue was just too easy, I guess. Like, they've got a thing about Carolina. They don't seem quite as upset about Columbia.
Right. I got to tell you, Old Dominion, if you call it Carol Hudson Blue instead of Carolina Blue, I don't think that's going to affect the Tar Heels a whole lot moving forward.
Somewhere,
somebody's on a abacus and on their calculator, they've got little Casio out, and they're like, how is our margin for the gear and the licensing this year? How has it tanked? And then there's a little memo on the desk that says, Carolina Blue, Carol Hudson Blue, and that person's going to, no, Old Dominion! You've done it!
Do you think that there's some five-star linebacker in Tidewater or something who's like, I've always wanted to wear that Carol Hudson blue. That other school in Chapel Hill seems to be trying to steal it, but I know Dr. Carol Hudson is the one who really made this happen. Two things. Number one, this reminds me of when South Carolina gets all mad about USC and tries to persuade everybody that they're either A, the real USC, or B, the real Carolina, and really wants you desperately to believe that either one of these things is true, even though everyone in the rest of the free world's like, okay.
Just go by South Carolina.
Yeah.
Why not just do that?
Yeah. Number two, I don't especially like that shade of red that NC State wears. I now deem it to be Adam Lucas Red TM. I'm going to see about getting that trademarked.
Yep. Yep. Sorry, Dave Doran. Your team's going to run out onto the field, and every second that they're on TV, if they're wearing that color, you owe Adam $100.
Yeah, and I'm going to use that amongst my inner circle. Like, hey, you see the Wolfpack wearing those Adam Lucas red uniforms? And we're going to slowly put that out into the outside world and see if it catches on. Adam Lucas red. I got nothing against Old Dominion. But
right.
Do y'all have nothing else to worry about?
Adam, I think actually that's the most important part of this whole discussion. I've got nothing, Old Dominion.
You can call it whatever you want.
That's fine. That's fine, bro. That's fine. Call it Hudson. Call it Carol Hudson Blue.
Okay.
Okay, Adam, I'm just going to go ahead and go to my two little points that I have here.
Okay.
Number one, go ahead and congratulate me, Adam.
Congratulations.
I completely replaced the garbage disposal this past week.
Oh. I didn't know I was in the presence of Bob Vila.
Yeah. I have to say, it was as proud as I've ever been, I think, after a project. I was just looking at it. Maybe we'd throw some more eggshells down there, grind them up real fast, because I know this bad boy is working 100%.
What was that moment like when you thought you had put in the new one?
Yeah.
Right before you flip the switch?
It was nerve-wracking. It was nerve-wracking because I was like, man. First of all, if I didn't do the – because we – okay. So our disposal had been leaking. And so our neighbor is super handy and it's like he does all kinds of stuff. So he normally will help us out with stuff because I am not handy. I've told you I can change the flush valve on the toilet, and that's about the level of my handiness around the house. I admit that. That's fine. But it had taken a while, and he'd been out of town. And I was like, you know, I can't deal with not having a garbage disposal anymore. I'm not going to pay a plumber hundreds of dollars to do this. I'm just gonna get down there. I'm gonna get my flashlight. I'm gonna get my screwdriver, and I'm gonna figure this out. And Adam, that's exactly what I did. So, if you have some disposal problems, you can hit me up. Maybe I can come over there. I'll give you a discounted rate.
A lot of people call them garbage disposals.
Yeah.
We like to call them Jones Angel kitchen appliances.
Yeah, that's right. Trademark. That's ours now.
We were somewhere recently. In fact, this was...
That is ours now.
We were somewhere yesterday, my wife and I, and we were talking to this other gentleman, and he looked at me and said, "Are you handy?" And I had to laugh because the answer is no, but my wife actually is. And so I was like, no, but she is. And he goes, well, so for this thing, he's like, do you think you could mix up some mortar? And she was like, yeah. Like, she thinks she could do anything. Like, so do you think you could construct a dormitory on the University of North Carolina campus? Uh-huh, probably, yeah, sure. I'd need, one other guy, but not Adam.
Yeah, give me, 72 hours. I can get this knocked out.
Could you mix up some mortar? She was like, oh, I could totally do that. Oh, I guess we're renting a cement truck. Unless maybe we already have one and I didn't know.
You're gonna roll over in bed, it'll be 6:45 in the morning, like, oh, what is it's Saturday. Why is somebody out there with heavy machinery? Why are they choosing today to work on the roads? And your wife's gonna be out there dropping some men into the driveway. We're redoing this, honey. It'll be done by 10.
There's gonna be a flag man out in the driveway wearing a hard hat. All I hear when I wake up, beep, beep, beep. Sorry guys, we're going on lunch in an hour.
So, the other story I had, Adam, it was a brief encounter, but it was a wild encounter.
Well, that's the best kind.
That's right. So, I had gone and I had picked up some lunch, which I had ordered off the app, because as we know, that's the way to go.
Was it a burrito?
It was a burrito bowl, Adam. Thank you very much. So I was walking out, and I noticed this car. And the car, there was someone in the driver's seat, and then the passenger seat was, the door of the passenger seat in the front was open. But I am coming like past it from the driver's side. So I was like, they left their door open. Somebody went inside to one of these other stores and left the door open. But then, Adam, then I heard something that changed the game. I heard the sound that could only be described as someone violently throwing up. So I walk around, like I'm kind of walking to my car, and I'm like, oh boy, what's happening here? And this woman is hanging out of this car, well, violently throwing up all over the parking lot. It was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday or something. I'm like, what's happening? Why is this happening when I'm trying to take my lunch and take it back to Pod World headquarters where I'm on the hashtag grind, of course. But now I've got this in my mind. And then I get to my car. I take one like extra little peek just to see how she's doing. She's still hanging sideways out of the car, but now she's got her phone and is just checking some messages.
I might like to put this on my Instagram story. Yeah.
I may have to do this again, but while I wait to find out, let me see who's texting me. It's Carol Hudson. Yeah, story about something being blue. I'm confused.
So you didn't go over and make sure everything was okay. You just figured it probably was if she was on her phone.
That is not a scenario in which I'm going to go and see if someone needs some help. Like, there'll be some scenarios that I could do that. Like earlier today, I saw a young lady walking around. She was very clearly didn't know where she was going. I went up and I said, can I help you? She was looking for the ticket office and I helped her. Mm. Had she been throwing up, I would not have gone and helped her. Sorry. Them's the breaks.
So if you ever need Jones's help, there's just a few criteria you need to meet.
Yeah, that's right. Don't be throwing up.
Are you currently throwing up? No, I'm here to help. Always an ambassador.
All right, Adam, to your list.
What's on the top of Adam's list? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
Justin Jackson
on
a two-way deal with the Milwaukee Bucks.
The Bucks.
He, I think we mentioned, can't remember if we did, Oklahoma City let him go. That never seemed like a great fit for him. And now he is with the Bucks on a two-way deal. J.B. Bukauskas makes his MLB debut, gets one out on Tuesday, and got the win.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Because, well, I think there was a rain delay involved in there somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the way to do it.
Yeah. So, congratulations to him. He's now teammates with former pod guest Zach Gallen. So, you know, Zach Gallen will be looking out for him. Jan Mann retired.
She did indeed. Boy, there's been a lot of Tar Heel coaches. Mike Fox, of course, Roy Williams, now Jan Mann. Jan Mann had been the women's golf coach here at Carolina for more than a decade. She has roots in Jacksonville, by the way. Rib. And certainly congratulations to her. And, you know, I think Carolina on the men's side has really been on the rise here the last year or two. And certainly I think that is a sport on the women's side as well that the Tar Heels can be successful in. I mean, you see Duke and Wake Forest right now are two of the better women's programs as far as collegiate golf. And so I think Carolina certainly has the facilities, dedication, all those kind of things to be, I think, at that level. And Jan Mann did a terrific job, but I think that is a job that someone can come into and really build that program and hopefully to even better heights. And super nice, Jan Mann.
Well, from Jacksonville.
Right.
Other honors for those who wear the Carol Hudson blue. Just rolls off the tongue. Former pod guest Aaron Mattson.
I'm Aaron Mattson, and see you later, Big Grits.
ACC Offensive Player of the Year for the third year in a row for field hockey.
No big deal there.
And Carolina's Karen Shelton named ACC Coach of the Year.
This is Karen Shelton here, and I want to say, see you later, Big Grids.
For the 11th time. Mm. Now, field hockey in the ACC is a little weird. The Tar Heels play today, Friday. They're going to host Wake Forest in a one-game playoff for the ACC's automatic spot in the NCAA tournament field.
I got to tell you, Adam, I don't understand. I don't understand. The field hockey team won the ACC tournament, which was held in the fall, and they are the number one. They have lost one time that occurred in the fall. They haven't lost in the spring. So they're the top team record-wise in the conference in total, plus won the ACC tournament. I mean, even if Carolina somehow lost this match, it would still make the tournament. But I'm just not quite sure the reasoning why they're playing. Wake is below 500 and in third place in the conference. So I don't claim to understand why they are playing, but we know they're playing.
Yes. There are some possible changes afoot to the NCAA practice allowances for college football. So wanted to see what you thought about this. According to Sports Illustrated, significant changes are coming to college football for preseason camp. There was a five-year concussion study funded by the NCAA and Department of Defense. So the Football Oversight Committee exploring ways to make the annual August camp a safer place. Check it. They're deeply exploring it. Mm. So you know they're very serious about it. Among the proposed recommendations, reducing full padded camp practices from 21 to 8.
Whoa.
Completely doing away with collision exercises and limiting a team to 2 scrimmages per camp, down from 3.5. That's pretty substantial.
Well, the 21 to 8 is an extraordinarily substantial move. So only 8 in this proposal.
Right.
Only 8 fully padded practices before you play a game.
Of course, no one wants concussions.
Right.
I would want to see some numbers that suggested to me that somehow 8 was the number where you're avoiding those types of injuries.
And what was the second one? No full collision drill? So, I mean, that's like the Oklahoma drill, right?
Right.
I mean, okay. But I still think an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman need to have drills against one another.
Right.
That's how they can practice.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I'd be interested what the classification of that would be. Like, if Carolina's putting Tamon Fox on the edge and saying, all right, Awesome Richards, you guys are going one-on-one. I mean, that needs to happen. That's part of how you get prepared. So would that classify? I would be interested to know what classified.
Well, limiting a team to 2 scrimmages down from 3.5, that's cutting them almost in half.
Yeah.
Those are substantial changes being suggested.
By the way, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I had wanted to mention some stuff when we were talking football earlier, and I forgot to circle back to it. So the Tar Heels had a couple scrimmages here in the spring, including one last Saturday, and had a chance to go out and watch that one. And a couple things quickly. The best individual play I saw, Sam Howell to Emory Simmons for a diving catch for a touchdown. It was a great throw, great catch. I thought Carolina ran the ball very well. I was encouraged with Carolina's offensive line. Mac Brown has said he's looking for someone to step up at running back and at wide receiver. I wouldn't say necessarily that one back was light years ahead of anybody else, but I thought they all had some success, and I think a big reason why was there were some holes to run through at times. And having said that, I mean, there were some young defensive players who jumped out. Javari Ritzy in particular really jumped out, at least in this particular session that I saw, where he played really well for the Tar Heels defensively. Also, it was cool. A bunch of former players were there. Mitch Trubisky was there. Cole Holcomb was there. Nathan Elliott was there. There were some others who were there as well who came to watch.
Landon Turner.
Yeah, Landon Turner, thank you, was there. And so Charlie Heck. So I think they were in town for a wedding, for a former teammate's wedding. And so they were all there, watched practice. Mitch said something to the team. I think Landon Turner talked to the team as well after Landon, of course, a former pod guest.
I'm Landon Turner. See you later, Big Grits.
Talked to the team after practice. So it was cool to see those guys back involved.
Always great having them around.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Last thing on the list, Matt Stark sent this tweet to our attention. It is from someone named Jessica Price, who I don't know, but she made the following point that I felt sure Jones would agree with. She tweeted, anything Bitcoin bros are jazzed about is probably terrible for humanity as a whole.
Well, Joby West sent just me a tweet at him, didn't include you on there. It said, things just got better. You can now spend big bucks to buy virtual real estate. Joby said he'd love to see my wife's reaction when I said that we are going to throw on a VR headset and see how I spent the money I cashed out of my 401k. So this is a tweet from Elizabeth Howcroft, who I don't know, but reported this. People are now spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on plots of virtual land. They see it as an investment. They think more people will spend more time in these virtual environments, so owning the virtual space in a central location is going to become more valuable, in their opinion.
Now,
many people believe these spaces, that these virtual worlds will become the home pages of the internet, where people automatically go to socialize and congregate online. They refer to it as Web 3.0, as opposed to Twitter, Facebook, etc., which old heads like Adam see as Web 2.0.
I think we can pretty much agree that I'm generally more optimistic on the crypto side of things than Jones is. But I am completely, fully, totally out on spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on imaginary land when you could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on real land. Like, I can't buy LeBron James. I could buy LeBron James's highlights, and that makes a little more sense to me. I can buy real land. There is real land available. And no one's... I'm not going to live to see the day that I say to Jones, Jones, do you want to come over to my imaginary land so we can hang out on the internet?
Adam, I've got some virtual land in Iceland and New Zealand.
That doesn't even make any sense.
I like some of the replies, which actually aren't that snarky. They're just more practical questions. Like, this guy says, can't someone else just eventually create another digital world and sell the same digital land again for cheaper? How can you ever truly own digital land?
It's not real.
Does virtual land come with virtual real estate taxes?
The really smart guy is going to be like, hey, you bought the virtual land. Also, I'm going to need to assess you some homeowner's dues.
Yeah. Be $40 for us to mow the grass, your virtual land.
We've got some pretty strict covenants that I'm going to need you to abide by, and they involve paying me money.
There's one thing that I know for sure. There's only one color you can wear in Adam's virtual land. All right, Adam, anything else?
No.
Okay. So I think we're going to have two shows next week.
Oh, we'll see about that, sir.
The plan is two audio shows next week. Man, we have some good guests coming up next week, too. So we'll be back on Tuesday and then Friday of next week. We'll try to keep you up to date because the schedule is about to get wonky. But we do anticipate two shows next week. We also anticipate two See You Later Big Gritzes right now. One from Mac Brown, one from Aaron Rollman, with a little help from the RZA, here on the latest edition of the Carolina Insider.
This is Mac Brown. See you later, Big Grits.
I'm Aaron Rollman. See you later, Big Grits. When I was small, we had nothing at all. We used to eat grits
for dinner. Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen. When I was small,
got nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
See you later, Big Grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network, brought to you by Crumley Roberts. Visit CrumleyRoberts.com today to find out how they can stand up for you.